Hour number two of Three and Out on Fan Run Radio, AM 1340, FM 105.7, streaming online on your Fan Run Radio app. Hour two of Three and Out brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. You can check out all their services online at tvacreditunion.com. For the month of June, you can help your kids get a jump start on savings. You can sign up for a free jump start savings account for anyone 17 years old or younger. You can check them out online at tvacreditunion.com or visit one of their 20 branches in East Tennessee. TVA Employees Credit Union, helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward. Teased it before the break. Kind of bring the two topics of hour one together in a question. And I saw this on Twitter, so I can't take credit for it myself. I saw it on Twitter, at feelslike98 put up a poll. So I wanted to give credit there. Was not an original idea. But if you can only pick one, I can only give you one, Billy. You land Kerry Blackshear Jr., or are you taking a five-star? I can give you one five-star football recruit. Which one are you taking?
Do I get to pick the position of the five-star recruit? Is it a generic five-star recruit? Is he the number one player in the nation?
Okay, he's not the number one player in the nation, but he's, I mean, he's wanted by Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State. He's got an offer from everybody. He's can't miss.
He's a can't miss.
Yeah.
Five-star recruit.
Yep.
Any position.
Any position.
Kind of going against what I said in the first hour, because Harrison Bailey is my guy.
Oh,
but if you can get a five star, which I don't know, Harrison Bailey might be a five star when it's all said and done. If you can get a five star quarterback that you can't miss on, and you have him for at least 3 years with big old Chaney, how do you turn that down? And I'm a basketball guy too, Brandon. I don't know if you know this. Basketball, that's my love. That's where I first fell in love with the University of Tennessee.
Yep.
We talked about it yesterday. My first experience in Neyland Stadium was the 2000 Florida game. So that wasn't a great experience, but my first experience with Tennessee basketball was like Tony Harris, Rashard Lee, Brandon Wharton, Isaiah Victor, all those guys. So I'm a basketball guy, but I don't know. Trevor Lawrence was the number one player in the nation, so it's hard to compare since I can't have the number one player. But if there's a quarterback like him and you can't miss on him, I don't know how you take Kerry Blackshear for just one season.
It is tough. Because like you said, you only get Blackshear for 1 year. But I'm like you, Billy. I'm a basketball guy. Don't get me wrong. I love football. I played basketball in high school. We were just talking about that during the break. So basketball's always been it for me, and I don't know. It's close. It's close, man, because I so desperately want for football to be back. But I still think I got to go Blackshear.
Still got to go Blackshear.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So this is a very good comparison, I think. Would you rather have Kerry Blackshear or Rakim Jarrett? Because we got Harrison Bailey. We got the quarterback. Would you rather have that big five-star recruit, Rakim Jarrett, for at least 3 years, or Kerry Blackshear? Keep in mind, Rakim Jarrett, five-star recruit out of the Washington, D.C. area, 6 foot, 208 pounds, rated as the number 19th best highest-rated recruit, third receiver in the nation, and the second in the D.C. area.
I don't know, man. I'm just so conditioned to see these five-star football recruits come in, and they just bust. It's tough. Because like you said, you only get Blackshear for 1 year.
It would be a game changer if you said five-star basketball recruit. Well, I mean, it still can go one and done. I don't know. I'm taking football for 3 years until they change the rules. Especially a can't miss.
Now you got me. Now you've got me questioning myself, Billy. I think I'm still going Blackshear.
We'll break the tie.
That's a lot more pressure now that I have to break a tie.
Break the tie.
Even though we would have him a shorter amount of time, I would have to go Blackshear just Boom. Because I'm not that – like, I'm confident in this basketball team, but this, like, class doesn't have me as excited as the 2020 class has me.
That's why you don't need Blackshear as much as you need a can't-miss five-star football recruit.
But also, with football, one guy isn't going to make or break your roster.
Could be if you have a stud quarterback like Harrison Bailey and you add a stud wide receiver like Rakim Jarrett.
But then you still got the defense that you got to take care of.
The defense is okay.
Still got to have an offensive line to protect that quarterback.
Oh, that's true. And he's recruiting that as well.
But you're not guaranteed. You're not guaranteed that, Billy. Blackshear, I mean, with basketball, you get one guy in there, and it's a game changer. One guy can take you to the top in basketball. So and even though you only got him for 1 year, I mean, look at what we're talking here. I mean, we talked about that last segment there with Blackshear. Without him, where were we saying that we think we were?
Bubble team,
fringe tournament team. Don't really know. You add Blackshear. You said your minimum expectation was Sweet 16.
I think it would be an okay expectation from fans to say Sweet 16 is where I could see this team in the postseason. It's hard to say you expect to make the Sweet 16, but I think Tennessee would have the talent to do so.
So, I mean, you go from maybe your expectations, I mean, maybe you're a 8, 9, 10 seed to being solidly in the tournament with Blackshear. I'm going with Blackshear. And maybe it would be different if this were a And I mean, you kind of changed it up, and that's where I was going. I mean, if you identify one recruit, if you instead of it just being some vague five-star recruit, if you actually throw a name on there and it's somebody that you know, maybe that makes it a little bit different. But I'm set on Blackshear. I've been set since it came down to it was us in Kentucky. It's Blackshear bus, and I will be severely disappointed if he does not come to Tennessee.
No, I mean, that's a really tough question. If it's more vague, then I think you do probably go the basketball route, because to your point, one guy can change it all, especially if, I mean, well, I guess Blackshear's, I mean, how would you rate Blackshear now? I mean, I guess he would be a five. I mean, he was a four star. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know where I'd put it as far as a star goes, but I mean, the guy was on a pretty good Virginia Tech team last year that made the Sweet 16.
They played Duke in the Sweet 16. Yeah.
So they made the Sweet 16.
Or the Elite? They might have.
I don't think they made the Elite.
It was the Sweet 16. Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State Duke. Yeah. Okay.
So made the Sweet 16. I mean, the guy averaged 15 and like seven, eight rebounds a game. He can pass on the inside. I don't know as far as a star that I'd put on his name, but he's obviously the highest rated transfer that there is. He's the one that – I mean, you'd be crazy not to take him. I mean, Kentucky's going after him, and they're loaded.
I mentioned this the other day. I think it bears repeating. Will Warren, friend of the station.
Love Will Warren.
Here's a list of players in Tennessee history. Have you seen this?
No.
All right, good. I want you to guess. Here's a list of Tennessee players, or here's a list of players in Tennessee history with 500 plus points, 250 plus rebounds, and 20 plus made threes in a season, which Kerry Blackshear did last season at Virginia Tech. How many Tennessee players have done that in the history of the program?
How many players?
500 plus points, 250 plus rebounds, and 20 plus made threes in one season.
I'm going to say five.
Only one.
Only one?
Jerome Nix in 1988-89.
I would have never got that. I would have never guessed.
So, I guess I'm kind of making the argument against myself here, but Blackshear is a special, special player.
I would have guessed that Wayne Chisholm would have been close.
Would have been very close. I'm about to look that up, actually, while we're in the break here and just see how close that he got. Because, yeah, you're right.
I bet he didn't get the threes. I bet he didn't get 20 threes.
What? Wayne? No.
Well, which one do you think he didn't get? 500 points?
I would probably guess points before
points?
Threes.
I mean, I know Weezy liked to shoot them.
He was sneaky on the boards.
I don't know. I guess we're about to find out. 865-546-8200. Give us your opinion. Which would you take, Kerry Blackshear Jr. or a five-star recruit? I can only give you one. We'll take a quick break.
Yes!
Yes!
Go ahead, Billy. Take your victory lap.
Yes!
Take your victory lap.
I was right!
It was very close.
Congrats.
It was very close. Wait, if you don't know what I'm yelling about, Kerry Blackshear last year at Virginia Tech had 500 plus points, 250 plus rebounds, while making 20 plus threes. There's only been one player in Tennessee history to accomplish that feat, which was Jerome Nix back in 1988-89. Brandon brought up Wayne Chisholm, and that was a very, very good guess. However, we started diving into which one did Chizzy not reach.
Diving into the numbers.
Did you know Wayne Chisholm made... What was it, 20 or 25? Was it 23s? Yeah. Wayne Chisholm made over 23s each season.
Wow.
In Knoxville.
Wheezy.
He had over 250 rebounds his junior and senior seasons, but he never got to 500 points in a single season.
Hmm.
He got to 467 in both his junior and senior season. So very
the same number both seasons. The
same number both seasons. Very, very close. Very close. He made 41 threes his junior season. My man.
41.
My man. That trail where he would just lollygag down the court, stop at the top of the key, and just money. Oh, man. Love Dwayne. Big Wayne Chisholm guy. Big Wayne Chisholm guy.
Yeah, I guess C.J. Watson was kind of the first player that was like, that I remember is like, yeah, he can play. And then you had Lofton, Bradshaw. And then Wheezy was the kind of transition from early Pearl teams, and then I love Wayne Chisholm. This is usually the time I'm getting up, Billy, to come do my show.
And we're rolling.
I've been up for 2.5 hours now. Right, I'm wide awake. I'm good to go.
You just need coffee. You're not a coffee drinker?
I'm not a coffee guy. Nope.
Oh, it does wonders for you, man.
I can't do it. But I'm good. I'm full of energy.
I found this interesting, staying on just this topic for a second. How close do you think Admiral Schofield was last season?
So he got the threes.
74.
I'm going to say he got the rebounds. No, he didn't get the rebounds.
Didn't get the rebounds.
He got the points.
He scored 610 points last season.
How short? How close was he to the rebounds?
227.
Ooh. Ooh.
And you would think Grant didn't get it because of the threes.
But did he hit 23s?
He did not. Oh, man. He was 5 threes off. He had 278 rebounds and 696 points. Man, just 5 more threes, Grant.
Yeah.
Could have been the second player in Tennessee history.
If he would have started shooting those threes a little bit earlier in the season, maybe he knocks a few down.
Wasn't Rick Barnes' philosophy. That's what you can knock Rick Barnes on. His in-game coaching decisions.
Wow.
Maybe if Grant would have played in overtime against Purdue, he could have made those 5 extra threes.
Maybe so. So you're knocking Rick Barnes on.
That's been my criticism of Barnes the whole time.
Wow. Billy, known Rick Barnes hater.
Not a hater. I think what he's done for the university.
You hate to see it.
Is great. I think what he's doing with the 2020 class is great.
Highway robbery.
I think $4 million. He did with Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Jordan Bone is great. What he did in crunch time and in the biggest games of the season, not so great.
Wow.
You know,
I mean, what about Kentucky and the SEC tournament? That was a big game.
I'll give credit when he shows up. He also has to take the criticism when he doesn't.
Is it not crazy to think that here we are, June 26th? I don't know how many days away we are from football.
59, I've been keeping up.
59. Thank you,
he's
Will.
He's on it. Will's on it. Intern Will's on it.
59 days away from football. And we're still talking about basketball.
Brandon.
More so than and football's coming around. We're warming up to football.
This was arguably the best team in Tennessee. It was the best team in my lifetime. Arguably the best team in the history of the program. And I know you can't expect Elite Eight, you can't expect Final Fours. I know Purdue was a great team, but man, you just hate to see everything these guys built for 3 years just tossed away. Because people don't want to hear this, but you could have got beat by Colgate. Could have got beat by Iowa.
Oh, Billy. You just got to enjoy the ride, Billy.
You can't enjoy when you get...
As the great lyricist of our time, Miley Cyrus, once sang,
oh,
it's not about how fast you get there, Billy. It's about the climb. It's about the climb.
You know, I think it will get easier. I don't know, actually. It might sting more in 10 years because I thought Tennessee was probably the better team.
And we probably were, if we're being completely honest.
Now, you could make the argument that they just get beat by Virginia, but I still think that – I think Tennessee –
But still, that's your second Elite Eight in school history, something that's only been done one other
time.
Yeah,
and when you have the best team in school history, you probably should make and break that record.
Listen, I was just as disappointed as the next guy. But that Klein kid had the night of his life. The night of his life. What are you supposed to do? You had – hands in his face all night. He was draining everything he threw up. Everything. And, I mean, yeah, we got off to a terrible start in that game. And I don't know who you put the blame on there. I mean, it probably falls on everybody. Barnes, players. But you were in that game. I mean, you definitely had a chance to win. Made more shots.
It's always tricky when you dish out blame, isn't it? Because, I mean, you played. Sometimes the coach does everything that they can do, and the people in the stands don't necessarily understand everything. I mean, we can criticize, like, in-game coaching decisions, but if players don't play, they just don't play.
Yeah, and then and sometimes the coach has the – sometimes you have it drawn up to perfection. You make the right decision, and the players execute to perfection. And the other team just executes better. It's just their night.
Yeah.
I think that was the case when Tennessee played Purdue. And I had actually kind of forgot. I guess we're going back and peeling scabs off today. But controversial calls in that game don't help matters, but I'm not blaming the game on the refs. I mean, Tennessee definitely had a chance to win that game in regulation and even in overtime too. So
I think the thing that still stings me the most is when the season was on the line, your best player, the back-to-back SEC player of the year, was on the bench. Four fouls or not. Because it's do or die at that point in the game.
Billy,
your guy is on the bench.
Billy going scorched earth on Rick Barnes. Wow. You hate to see it. 865-546-8200 is our number if you want to join us. We'll take a quick break right here. Halfway through the show, take a quick break. You're listening to Fan Run Radio. .34 on your Wednesday morning. Intern Will bring us back with a little Edgar Winter Group. Take a free ride. Let's hear from Nate Hodges about Gold's Gym. Nate!
This segment of the program is brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. Check them out online at goldsgym.com to download your free 3-day VIP pass. So you can try before you join. Brandon, you know there's 7 locations here in Knoxville.
7.
Maybe even one near you if you're streaming or watching us outside the market, like places in Chattanooga, Western North Carolina. Really, anywhere in the Southeast. Check them out at goldsgym.com to find a location near you. Now let's kick it over to Davey Hudson for your fitness tip of the day.
For today's Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day, add the bike to your ab routine. According to the American Council on Exercise study, the bicycle, and I'm not talking about an actual bike, but the exercise that works your abs where you're lying face up, you bring your right knee and your left elbow toward each other, and then you switch sides, is the best waist-firming exercise because it uses every muscle in your abs. So make sure to try and add the bicycle to your next ab workout. And that is today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day.
That's Davey Hudson, your former 12-week challenge winner with the Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day. Gold's Gym, the official gym, three and out.
No jabs today? I was hoping for a Davey Hudson jab.
He took one yesterday.
Good old Davey. Good old Davey.
He's coming in. Brandon, you got a six-pack?
Of beer?
Well, Davey's fitness tips have been about the ab work this week.
I've noticed,
and he's got some pretty good tips out there.
Had to check him out there for a second. I thought he was talking about an actual bicycle. Glad he clarified.
Are you the now? I will admit, riding the bike is one of my favorite exercises. I don't do the arm motions with the bike though. That I'm not that type of guy.
No, I'm just a casual, just stroll along.
Stroll.
No sweat. Just taking it easy.
Yeah, old Davey Hudson. He's got those down pat.
I was really hoping for a Davey Hudson shot on today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day. So, and this is a little off topic, but I can't be the only one that suffers from this. It's happened to me before, but it's been a long time, and I do not understand this phenomenon. So last night I go to bed a little earlier than I usually do, getting ready for the show this morning. I wake up in the middle of the night. I feel like I have been asleep for hours. Well rested. I look at the clock. I've only been asleep for like 45 minutes. Maybe an hour. What's going on?
And you're ready to go?
No, I wasn't ready to go. I mean, I went back to sleep. But I felt like I had been asleep for hours.
You know, that does happen sometimes to me, especially getting up at 5 a.m. sometime like 3:20, 3:40. I've been asleep for a couple hours at that point, though. I'm ready to go.
I went to sleep at like 11:45. I wake up. It's like 1. It's like 1 a.m. I feel like I've been asleep for 5 hours.
What do they say? The best sleep is like a 20-minute nap or something like that.
A 20-minute nap.
Is that not right? Like 20 minutes, you wake up more well.
Is that like the perfect like nap?
I think so. I'm going to look it up.
I know like if you sleep any longer than that, if you're taking a nap, if you sleep any longer, you feel terrible. It's all about the REM sleep.
The first like thing that pops up when you type best nap time in on Google, between 10 and 20 minutes. It takes me at least 10 minutes to go to sleep.
It's not enough time. 20 minutes just isn't enough. I feel like 30 minutes, 30 to 45 is the perfect nap.
Any longer, it says any longer than 20 minutes can wake you up groggy.
Yeah.
And reduce your performance.
I will attest to that. I hate those naps. When you wake up and you feel worse than you did whenever you went to sleep,
yeah, those are terrible. Worst.
It's all about the rapid eye movement sleep, Billy. You aware of the REM sleep?
No.
You don't know the different cycles of sleep?
Oh, I thought you were talking about. I thought this was some like weird little word to use when you wear goggles to sleep or something. I wasn't really paying attention. I caught like a little bit of it. I was like, do you really wear those to sleep?
No, REM sleep.
I got you.
Yeah. It's all about the REM sleep. That's what you got to get to.
Okay, well, apparently you got there quick last night.
Apparently so. Apparently so.
Do you think, speaking of sleeping, do you think FanDuel Sportsbook is sleeping on the Vols?
No. No. I think they got it spot on. I think that's a perfect number.
You know the number?
I do. Go ahead and let the listener know.
Is it FanDuel?
FanDuel
Sportsbook has, if you want to bet on Tennessee for the upcoming season, their win total, they have them at 6.5.
I think that is the perfect number.
To generate a lot of money.
Yeah. For them, yeah.
Right.
Not for Tennessee. Hopefully it's a lot higher. But
so would you, at the current moment, would you go under or over that?
You going to put me on the spot, Billy?
I'm going to put you on the spot.
I would go just over. I'm going to put it at 7.
Okay.
That's where I'd go.
Intern Will?
8-4.
Oh. Ooh. Easy Ooh. Money at 6-5.
Sheepy Will. Where are you going, Billy?
I don't know, man. I would like to think. I think Tennessee can get to the 7. I think they can get to the 8. However.
Oh, no. Here it comes.
However,
here it comes.
You know your reserve on. Hey, show me,
mm-hmm.
show me,
yep.
show me on the field.
Oh, here it comes.
Before I believe,
here it comes.
I would go under.
Oh,
right now, until I can see how much the offense has improved under Jim Chaney.
Are you going?
Give me the easy money. Under 6.5.
Oh. Oh, Billy. I don't know. You said 6-6?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can take 6-6.
We talked about this a little bit. Are you okay with seeing improvement on the field, even if it leads to a 6-6 record? Are you all in 7-5? Got to be 7-5. I don't care how we get there.
I mean, I'm not gonna be calling for Jeremy Pruitt's head if we go 6-6. I will be a little disappointed. I do think that you should show a little bit more improvement as far as the record goes. To me, I'll take, and we can kind of go this direction with it as well. David Ubben had a piece in the Athletic talking about. Kind of a which would you prefer as far as the win total. 6-6 where you're competitive with everybody on your schedule, or 8-4, but you get beat pretty handily by Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and I think Missouri was the other one.
Let me think on that.
What you think on it?
Let me think on that.
We can kick it around in the last segment of the hour coming up here in just a second. But going back to the win totals, it's a little interesting because they've got Tennessee and Missouri both at 6.5. I thought that was a little low for Missouri.
Yeah, I was going to say they might be the first people to be low on Missouri. I see a lot of people thinking Missouri's an 8-win team.
Yeah. I mean,
potentially a 9-win team.
I think they're, I would say that they're probably, I would say third best in the East behind Florida and Georgia.
I mean, right now, yeah, for sure. Does it not look good when you look at this list? Alabama, Georgia, Florida, LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, Texas A&M, Tennessee. There's like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4? 6 teams under Tennessee.
Yeah, and I mean, and it, a lot of them are teams that are on your schedule. I mean, Kentucky, they've got Kentucky, South Carolina, and Arkansas at 6, and Vanderbilt at 5. If we don't beat Vanderbilt this year, I'm done. I'm done with Tennessee football. I'll find something else to do. I'll find something else to do. I mean, you beat Kentucky last year as their best team in school history. If you can't beat them this year, fire Jeremy Pruitt.
Whoa.
I mean, come on. Is that really? Whoa. Really? I mean, is that far out there? I mean, come on. It's year two. That should not be that groundbreaking. If you can't beat Kentucky and Vanderbilt in year two.
Okay, hold on. You're saying if you lose to both of them, fire Jeremy
Pruitt? No, either one.
Oh.
Either I'm tired of losing to Vanderbilt.
You know, Tennessee hasn't lost four straight games to Vanderbilt.
Ever? Since like 1920?
Since 1922, 23, 25, and 26.
No, we cannot do that. No, I do not think that that is very – I don't think I'm being that ridiculous to say that I'm done with Jeremy Pruitt if he can't beat Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
You hate to see.
No, you don't. You know what you hate to see? Losing to Vanderbilt and Kentucky. I am sick and tired.
You're not losing to both of them.
I don't want to lose to either one. I do not want to lose to either one.
I think Tennessee beats both of them.
I do too. I do too. And I could handle it a little better, but if we don't beat Will Muschamp, I'm going to lose my mind.
Well, go ahead and plan on losing it. Because that's a toss-up game. And you hadn't beat him before. Well, yeah, Tennessee. Yeah,
Tennessee's never beaten Will Muschamp. Yeah. It's like, I think this is like year 7 or year 8. This is what we go through, Billy. I can't believe you're not with me. You're not with me on being out on Pruitt if he can't beat Kentucky.
Not yet. Give me year 3.
It's year 2.
Give me year 3.
Vanderbilt is going to suck. They lost everyone. Kentucky is going to suck. They lost everyone. I can't handle it, Billy. I can't handle it. It's interesting that Mississippi State was at 8.5. I thought that was a little high, too. 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. Final segment, hour 2, coming up next. .51, final segment, hour number 2 of 3 and Out. Talked to Ben Lee during the break. Ben Lee's on my side. I knew he would be.
I don't need this in the Fan Run Studios.
I knew he would be.
I don't need it.
Listen, Billy, we tell hard truths. We tell hard truths. We don't sugarcoat. We do not sugarcoat, Billy. If he can't cut it against Vandy and Kentucky, I'm not saying that you have to fire him. I'm not saying that they will fire him.
No, fire
all
his
I'm,
ass.
All I'm saying, oh, all I'm goodness. Saying is fire that if ass. It happens, if they lose to either one of them, Jeremy Pruitt will not. He will not make it here. He will not make it.
The way I see it is, you beat Kentucky in year one in their quote unquote best season ever. If you lose to them in year two in a regression year for them after they've lost a ton of talent, like to the draft, graduation, what have you. You have regressed yourself. You are not going to do anything of substance here. Fire his ass.
That's not necessarily true.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Didn't Bush get fired for basically the same thing?
They could have a lot of young talent that plays out of their mind like we did last year. Alante Taylor, no one expected him to be good, that good. No one expected Bryce Thompson to be all SEC freshman good. Kentucky could have some of those guys. I cannot believe we're having this conversation that we want to fire another coach.
Billy.
After 2 years.
Billy, look.
2 years.
Billy, to your point there, that means we also should be able to elevate our players to be able to step up and win games that we are, quote-unquote, not supposed to win. As I was telling Will during the break, any coach that has shown they are worth a damn elevates their players in year two, not their guys. They haven't gotten their full roster of, quote-unquote, their players in. They elevate players that are already there to a new level by putting them in good situations with good plays, setting up situations where they will shine, even if they have some deficiencies. If you're a good coach, you will beat teams you're supposed to beat, like a team you already beat, like Kentucky last year, and a team like Vandy, who is never going to be at the same talent level as yourself.
Billy,
if Kentucky is elevating their players to beat us, we should be, like, if you're saying Kentucky is going to have the ability to elevate their players, Pruitt should be able to do the same thing, especially since we beat him by 3 touchdowns last year.
Should Florida fire Dan Mullen?
For what?
Didn't Kentucky beat Florida last year?
They also went 10-3.
Didn't Kentucky beat Florida last year?
That they went 10-3.
It was year one.
And it was year one for Dan Mullen.
Sure there were some Florida fans that were calling for it.
Yeah,
I'm saying, Billy, there is a line that I'll give Pruitt the Vandy game from last year. I'll let that one slide.
I barely let it slide.
But there is a line that I am not willing to cross, and I will not stand by and support if we lose to Vanderbilt in Kentucky.
This might just be personal for me because one of my in-laws, or my brother's wife, their whole family from Lexington, ugh, all big Kentucky fans, and just watching games with them is some of the worst. I'm just saying, like, I've been sitting there, and it was like the dog crap years of Kentucky where they're winning 3-4 games a year, and that's basically what they were just like, oh yes, like, we're on the rise now. Like, there'd be games that we're sitting there where, like, they're getting beat. I was watching, they were getting beat by Florida by like 3 touchdowns, and there was a play where, like, basically, like, it was either a handoff that went basically like 20 yards or maybe a quick pass that broke out. And she was just screaming, like, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh. And I was just like, Kentucky is bad at collegiate American football. Like, that's all I could say at that point. I was just like, look, they are bad, okay? So we should be able to just beat them year in, year out, no matter what. They're just never going to have the standard of player that Tennessee has.
I'm just not sold that we put all of our eggs in one basket for year two.
Fire his ass.
You know who went 11-2 in their second year at Florida? Will Muschamp. You know what he did in year 3? 4-8. You know what he did in year 4? 6-5. So Tennessee,
the fact that he wasn't fired at 4-8 probably should have showed you that they just kind of gave up on that one. Like, they should have fired him after 4-8. If you go 11-2 and then regress to 4-8, that means you're a bad coach. He was doing it with someone else's players, quote unquote, right? I mean, those were all Urban Meyer's guys, but we always say we need to wait for our players to get in. We need to wait for the coaches to, like, get his guys in.
I can't believe we're having this conversation. I can't believe we're out on Pruitt on year two.
I'm not out yet.
Not out yet. Just show me that you're worth a damn.
I'm not out yet.
So if he somehow beats Florida but loses to Kentucky, we're still out.
Yes. That's regression. You showed me that you can elevate to beat a team that beat you by 24 points last year, but then you can't beat a team that you already beat by 21.
Maybe in their best season. Best game of the year.
You're talking about literally the best team that Kentucky has ever put on a collegiate American football field. And we beat them by 3 touchdowns.
That's debatable. I think Kentucky got really lucky last season in a lot of games.
I mean, they played really, really strong defense. They had a good running game. Their passing was terrible. But other than that, like, they was a really good football team. You can't scoff at Kentucky. Like, not going to lie, that was a good team. They had some studs on defense. I think they averaged giving up 10 points a game, maybe 11 or something like that. Like, it was one of the stronger defenses in the country.
All I'm saying, Billy, is I personally can't take it. I can't handle it. If it happens, I'll have to stop. I can't take another loss to Kentucky in football. I can't take another loss to Vandy in football. I can't do it.
I just couldn't stand the talk from my in-laws. I'd just be like, just shut up. The one year they beat us, they came in. Or she came in specifically because I remember being at my dad's house and I had shut myself in my room And I was just so steaming mad in 2012 when they beat us. And she came in doing the C-A-T-S. I was like, shut the hell up. I just screamed it from my room and just locked my door and just sat there and pouted. And then they called me down for dinner, and I didn't say a word. And she was trying to be nice, and I was like, no, shut up. Shut up.
Wow. Salty, Ben. Salty.
I've gotten better, but Tennessee games used to affect my whole weekend.
Well, I mean, I think everybody's gotten better because we're just so used to, we're used to being beat down. It's like, here we go again. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, Billy.
We're going to beat Kentucky or fire his ass. Hour two in the books. Hour three is up next. Stick with us here on Three and Out in the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville.